Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Caleb Rainey's poetry collection is called Look, Black Boy, and it begins with this dedication: to everyone who showed me that I was meant to be more than dead. His poems are written for 2 different audiences, and in many ways, they capture the complications of growing up black in the Midwest. Rainey grew up in Columbia, Missouri, but came to Iowa City to go to the University of Iowa. He found that in this city of literature, there weren't many spaces for young black writers, so he has created some. He is an event producer for The Hook, a storytelling group based in Cedar Rapids. He curates and MCs Drop the Mic, a spoken word event in Iowa City. He is co-founder of Black Art Real Stories, a student literary magazine at the University of Iowa, and he volunteers with the Iowa Youth Writing Project. He performs spoken word all over the country and internationally under his chosen title, The Negro Artist, and he is with me now. Caleb, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Let's talk about calling yourself the Negro Artist.
Ooh, yeah.
Tell me where that comes from.
Ooh, for me, it was... I read the essay, Langston Hughes's essay, The Negro Artist and the Racial Mountain, at the same time that I was deciding who I was as a person. So it was, I'm in seventh grade. I knew I wanted to be a writer, but then I was also trying to figure out what it meant to be a writer and to be a black boy and what that looks like. And Langston Hughes's essay talks about how some artists want to take away their race from being an artist. They want to be just an artist, says the Negro artist to Langston Hughes. And Langston Hughes says, no, you are a Negro artist. You always will be a Negro artist. And there's beauty in that. Instead of trying to take away some of your identity when being an artist, accept it and find the beauty. And there's something so unique and extra that you get to have by being a Negro artist. So accept it. And so as I'm trying to figure out what it meant to be a black boy, at the same time I'm learning what it means to be a writer, I put those two together and Langston Hughes spoke to me, and it stuck with me since then. And I think about it often, and now it's my name, because I just couldn't get away from that idea, and it seemed to liberate me. And that was really important to me.
That's so beautiful. At the same time, when you choose to call yourself the Negro Artist, you are injecting that into your relationship with your audience.
Oh, yeah.
So when you introduce yourself as the Negro Artist, what do you want people to hear when you say that? How do you want people to react?
I guess that depends on where my audience is. A lot of times when I say it, we see shifting of bodies, some uncomfortability. But also sometimes in black spaces, mostly they're like, yeah, all right, you're doing it. It depends on the space. But what I really want is every time I say my name, for the audience to have to think and reflect on what it is that their relationship is with race, with the phrase Negro, which is eerily similar to other things and also dated. And it's this idea that they have to decide, am I going to call him that? How do I feel that he calls himself that? What do I think right now? And it's kind of a roundabout way for us to start a conversation that I feel is necessary all of the time. In my earlier life, I would just start the conversation. How do you feel about race? You know, like, let's talk about it. This time it's, this is my name. And if you choose not to talk about it, that says something to me. But if you do choose to talk about it, you want to learn more. You want to kind of be curious about what it means to talk about race in a space that's safe. I'm kind of offering you that foot in the door.
There's this beautiful duality of that, but the whole poetry collection is about this duality. You are speaking to 2 different audiences. The title of the collection, Look, Black Boy, is, as a radio host, I have to say, it's hard for me to say because clearly there are 2 different ways that it could be said and meant, and they're so different.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly what I wanted with that title, is that duality of going, hey, there are 2 white people across the room saying, look at that black boy. And then there is me as the poet, as the writer, saying, look, black boy, this is how your life's going to be. This is what you're dealing with. This is what you're going to be, the cards you've been dealt. And so I love that. That's one of my favorite things about this collection is my own title. simply because I love that duality, because that is a lot of my life, is trying to figure out what's been given to me or what is assigned to me, which is my race, and how other people perceive that and how I'm going to have to learn to perceive that myself.
The poetry in the collection also has this duality. You're speaking to different audiences, and there are clearly some poems that are intended for a white audience you're clearly trying to help people understand and shake people out of their complacency and enlighten our audience, enlighten us. So there are other poems in the collection that are clearly meant for Black boys and men, people like you who maybe haven't thought through so many of the things that you've thought through. How did you conceive of that idea of writing for these two different audiences in the same collection?
What happened is these poems came naturally, right? At the same time that I'm trying to talk to my white friends or my white audience about, hey, this is my Blackness. This is what I have. This is who I am. I'm also going, I wish someone would tell me and give me some guidance or direction or said the things that I needed to hear, which sometimes is just, you matter, right? Like, those are the kind of things that I wished I could hear. And I'm thinking, well, I can write that for someone. If I'm speaking, I can speak to more than just the people who are oppressing me or the people that I need their views to change, but the people who are just like me, who are looking to read and go, is there a space for me? Are there people fighting the fight with me? That kind of thing.
And why did you want these poems to be together instead of writing two different collections?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think because, one, the duality is within me, but also thinking about where I grew up and the experiences I had when it has to do with the Midwest specifically, we are nice. Like, we're nice people. And so to have a whole collection that seems kind of like pushing against my audience seemed unfair. Some of those things, like anyone else, we have issues that we have to deal with our own identities and we have to come to terms with those. I wanted that there as a balance to say, hey, I'm not just mad at you guys, or this isn't all about what you're doing wrong. A lot of this is also, I have to figure out what it means for me. And identity is this kind of compromising thing that's happening, this conversation, especially when it comes to race and identity, in which people can look at you and try to assign an identity to you. You also have to look at yourself and identify what that means. So I wanted them both there, this balance, because Midwest is so nice. And yes, a lot of these experiences, all of the experiences in the book that are mentioned, are experiences I've had. They are my experiences. But not all of the people that I've met have been racist or overtly racist or mean. And I thought it was important that I note that some of it was my own internal growth that needed to happen.
There's also the reader goes on an incredible emotional journey, I feel like, with you, because there's the, as a white reader, there are the uncomfortable moments where I'm like, wow, I've never thought about this in this way. And that's because of my privilege that allows me not to see this. There's also the anger and frustration, but also the joy that so many of your poems bring too, just the love and the beauty.
Yeah.
I would love for you to read something for us.
Sure.
And I know that we just talked about this. Here we go. I would love for you to read Experiential Learning, A Letter to Mr. Johnson for us.
So in this poem, there are, in a later version, or depending on how I perform this is a performance piece turned to the page. I'm going to throw a few words in here that'll make it make more sense read out loud, if that's all right with you. I see the president with a white hood, I mean face, using words as weapons and power as a plaything. Remember, ninth grade U.S. government, I'm more worried about what girl I'd be assigned to sit by or the length of the lunch line, but you, Mr. Johnson, were dedicated. When you saw me settled with my collection of colorful pins, filling in the cracks of your lectures with my own creative connections, you couldn't condone such behavior. With heavy steps and swift hands, you snatched my paper, crumpled like a candy wrapper, and threw it in the trash. Stunned, I searched in the faces of my peers for comfort, only saw honor roll students passing notes, others eating sandwiches, and some avoiding my eyes. You taught government, power, life. Keep my color inside the line, sit down and do what I'm supposed to. You make the rules, and few will stand up to you. In my next class, I found home in the trombone section, playing a jazz selection when you appear, and make a treaty with my teacher. Move me to detention, teach me deportation, I mean migration. Home is never my own, just a place for you to point me to. I served my time in a silent room, accompanied by outlaws. The company felt familiar. Black and brown faces forced to feel space without sound, without speech. Learn that policy can reach down my throat and hold each note hostage. Learn the value of voice and its vulnerability. A guidance counselor tried to save me, said you shouldn't be allowed to target me. It's time for you to be impeached, I mean fired, but she couldn't make it happen herself. You had the right friends in high places. It's always about who you know. By the end of the day, you called for a conference. You were podium poised as my parents and I sat behind a desk. Your attempt to get ahead of the truth made your story a quarter's head, only showing one side, not concerned with sense. You fabricated trouble with my attention, confident I couldn't learn if I'm concentrating on colors, my brain would be too busy, and that's not what's best for me. You know my body better than me. I got a C- in your class and still managed to learn all your lessons. Now, when I look at the TV, I can see tyranny tucked under his tongue. Notice the sound of a stomach's growl for power, my freedom reflected in his eyes. My peers seem surprised, and all I can think is, class is in session.
Caleb Rainey reading from his poetry collection, Look, Black Boy. So that's an example of a poem that is meant for a white audience.
Definitely.
I would love for you to read another selection from the book. As I mentioned, that sort of emotional journey that we go on in the book. And this is such a joyous poem. Could you read A Rebel's Love for me?
Yeah. A Rebel's Love. Black boy loves like a hopeless romantic. The former their expectation, the latter his rebellion. Black boy loves like a broken compass. No direction, always pointing forward. Black boy loves like a hammer, trying to turn his toughness into a building. Black boy loves like he's the hourglass and the sand and the holding and the falling. Black boy loves like lavender in the spring. Royal scent, strong and sweet, yet still swept away by summer's heat. Black boy loves like an evening prayer, hopeful and honest. Black boy loves like falling, always mistaken as an accident. Like the clouds, always mistaken as a storm. Like Cupid's arrow, always mistaken as a weapon. Black boy loves like a dare, a double dog dare to not care. Like there's no reason to be scared. Black boy loves like the world is watching. No sudden movements. Don't let his heart beat too fast. That might make him a beast. Black boy loves like a naughty child. He don't stop loving even though he knows better. Black boy loves like Daniel against Goliath. All he's got is this little bit of love he can hold in his hand. Black boy loves like Jesus Christ, faithful and futile. Black boy loves like an adolescent. Slide a note across a desk and check yes, no, or maybe. The world's already answered, but he's waiting to see what you say. Black boy loves like the night sky, hoping you pin your wishes to his shooting star heart so you can both shine. Black boy loves like granny's food. If you know how to fix it right, you'll be full forever.
Beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time. Caleb, you chose to self-publish this collection, mm-hmm. and already you've been getting quite a bit of attention, people falling in love with this collection, being moved by this collection. First of all, why did you decide to self-publish?
To be very frank, I wrote a lot of these poems and I had them edited and I decided I think I want to get an MFA. And then when I attempted to get an MFA, I did not get accepted. And I said, well, I think my poems are still good. And rather than working through a publishing situation where I like send this out to a publisher, I said, these poems are ready and I want them now. And I know people need to hear them. I was also worried about timeline. I don't want to take too long with poems that I think are timely. So that is really what happened, is I said, I have these poems and I've been performing them on stages for so long that they felt ready and they felt like they needed a home. And so I needed to give them a home. And that was more about what it was than it was like publishing and the idea of talking to publishers, is I wanted my poems to have a home where they're rested and they live.
And people are already taking note. How does that feel? Are you surprised?
Yes, I am. It is very wild for me because all of this is so personal and on my own. And I've had two big moments so far since this book has come out, which is being the number one new release in African-American poetry on Amazon. And then also the idea of my mom holding my book. Oh. That was the moment that I was like, those are the two biggest moments so far where that was powerful for me.
Well, I'm sure there are many moments to come. Caleb Rainey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Caleb Rainey has published his first poetry collection. It's called Look Black Boy. He publishes as The Negro Artist. You can also see his spoken word performance on his YouTube channel or on Instagram. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.